understand that evolution is a worldview, and so is creationism. It's also a worldview. So we just have, from two starting points, we have two different worldviews.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that, but I would say my worldview was would be the best way to say it. My worldview was formed by the evidence, not whereas the other, I don't think that's the case. And I think the creationism, you have to hold that despite the evidence.
Okay. All right. I understand. I hear your statement. If you don't mind me going into mine, I hold to the problem of evolution not being necessarily a fact, or I have an issue with it, where there are several different types of evolution. And I think that you need to define what type of evolution you're talking about.
Yeah. Cosmic evolution, chemical evolution, all that stuff.
Cosmic evolution, right? I know scientists say all the time, oh, we see stars form. I would disagree with that because we just don't have enough time to observe that, right? Chemical evolution, you'd have to form every atom and chemical everything that's on the periodic table. You can't fuse past hydrogen, right?
That's not true. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm pretty sure, I'm 90% sure you cannot fuse past hydrogen. It might be helium, but either way.
That's 100% not true. We can do spectroscopy of stars and we can see the elements that they make, but no, fusion goes all the way to iron and then it stops because
after I'm saying you can't get past iron is what I'm saying. Like
you said hydrogen, which is the first element.
I understand, but I'm saying you can't fuse past that.
Yeah, I know, but explosive nuclear synthesis, and then what we now understand, merging neutron stars and things like that, can create the other ones.
Right. Again, as, like I said, from that standpoint, I just don't think that there is enough evidence to say that or scientists can say that they have seen stars form, because there's just not enough time to have observed that.
Okay, so are you saying that you shouldn't believe in something that there's no evidence for?
No, not that's not what I'm saying here. There's, because we both believe in things that we don't have evidence for, right? So my belief, right, is that we don't have evidence for. I didn't see creation, right? I wasn't there when it happened, right? You didn't see the Big Bang, right? You weren't there when nothing exploded into everything.
So yeah, but if it happened, there would be evidence.
Right. There is evidence left behind, and that's what we look. That's why we use science to kind of, not necessarily kind of, but that's why we use science to kind of go through the leftovers and figure out what caused everything. That's the whole point of science, is to discover and understand how things work, why things work.
Okay.
So I'm on board with that. I just reject the science. No, I don't necessarily reject the science. I reject that the worldview about the starting points have two different starting points. I think that we have two different similar ending points, but I think our starting points are different. Does that make sense?
Barely, yeah.
Okay. Tell me how I can kind of elaborate more for you.
I mean, I know what you mean by you and I have different starting points, but I don't see the criticism at all, other than, you've never seen a star actually explode and create heavy elements. I mean, we have seen supernova before, supernovae. Right, yeah. I don't know what the plural is,
but those, yeah, I understand. But those are stars dying, right?
Yeah. They create heavy elements when they do that.
Okay, I'll let you have that. I'd like to go read more into that to see, you know, see the truth about that. But I'm not gonna dispute that. But yeah, again, like I said, there's multiple different kinds of evolution, right? You got micro and macro evolution,
There's no
when it
such
comes
thing
to
as
speciation.
macroevolution.
I mean, if we're talking about it, right? So, the way that I would define evolution, people say everything came from, a single cell organism to what we see today,
Yes. And every
right?
step of the way was microevolution.
Right.
I can
So,
walk 100 miles, but I cannot take 100 mile steps. I can't do it.
right. However,
Every
like I said,
step is just a step.
I don't think that you would see a cow turn into a whale from that standpoint versus,
Of course not. Evolution
a wolf
says that
turn.
that can't
Right.
happen.
Some textbooks still do,
No, they do not.
but
They say
they
that
do. I
whales are the descendants of animals that at one point weren't whales.
Right, exactly. That's where
Yeah.
I would say that's not true. But
Okay,
I would
well,
say
we
that
have evidence of it.
you could take it. I would not subscribe to the evidence though. But the evidence that I would subscribe to is something like saying a wolf can turn into a Chihuahua or a Great Dane over many different types of breeding. Right? So
Sure. How long
does
does
that
that
make sense
take?
too? I don't know how long that would take. But I would be
Well,
willing to
does
look
it
it up.
take? It doesn't take that long, right? It can take only hundreds of
Yeah,
years, right?
it could take. That's probably. I would assume. Yeah, absolutely. It could
A
happen probably.
Chihuahua,
Yeah.
although a Chihuahua is a canine and so is a wolf, they are still
Right.
dramatically different. And that only takes a couple hundred years. So why would you say that it's literally impossible after millions of years, hundreds of millions of years, that they wouldn't be able to change so dramatically that we would say that they're not the same type of organism anymore.
I just don't think that, the Earth is millions of years old.
Well, we have really
Like, again,
incontrovertible evidence
that's
that it is, though.
right. I would, again, like I said, I come from the young Earth creationist standpoint. So my worldview is different from yours. You stand on the Earth being millions of years old. I would subscribe to it being roughly 6,000 years old.
Well, yeah, but I have evidence for my claim and you don't. And then you just say, well, yeah, but I don't have your worldview. And it's like, okay, well, then
Right,
I don't really get why we're having a conversation about it then.
your evidence is that you have scientific, some type of scientific evidence, whereas mine is more
Well,
biblical. So,
I mean, some kind of scientific evidence. I have literally entire fields and consilience. They all agree with each other on the same thing.
okay,
With respect to
again,
long ageism, astronomy, physics,
making
paleontology,
mass,
geology, they all tell the exact same story.
not necessarily.
Well, they do. We can see
They would like to
billions
agree
of
with each
light
other.
years. The Earth is billions of years old. If both of and there's a specific difference between them because the Earth cannot be older than the universe, and it isn't. They're both
That's
billions
true.
of years old, but one's way older. And life on the planet can't be older than the planet, and it's not. It does go
True.
back a very long time, but it's nowhere close to the same age or as old as the planet. Now, if all of this data was just like you can get the data to say whatever you want it to say, but it's not really true, then what you should expect is to have no correlation. What you would expect is zero consilience. But instead, that's the exact opposite what happens. Like with religion, if like all the religions can't be true, well, they could all be true if they all told the same story, but they don't. They all tell contradictory stories. So they
Right,
can't
but
all be
they don't.
true. You could argue one of them is true while
That's
somehow
true.
all of the
That's
other data is false, or maybe
also
they're all
false, yeah.
false or whatever. But you don't have consilience in religion, but in science, with respect to this, we have extreme consilience.
Okay. Again, I would disagree on the consistency, right? Simply due to there being evidence that the Bible does have, recorded history of things happening, and we can go back and look for evidence of it, right? For example, the flood, right? The entire Bible history in the world, you can disprove the entire Bible if you can't find evidence of the flood.
Well, there certainly isn't evidence of a global flood. The data we have, the data we have proves that a global flood couldn't have happened.
What data is that?
All of geology. So
I mean, geology. I mean, from a geology standpoint, right? So if
the entire fossil record and all of geology proves that the flood couldn't have happened. Like, for example, if a flood happens, the first animals to die are going to be the terrestrial animals, which would mean the deepest layers of the fossil record. The only acceptable observation would be for it to be overwhelmingly, predominantly terrestrial animals. It's the exact opposite of that. It's overwhelmingly for vast, vast, vast stretches throughout the fossil record. It's only marine organisms, and they actually gain in complexity throughout the fossil record. After more than 1,000 debates, I've compiled all the knowledge you need to debunk the arguments you hear from my guests into a book. Rational Answers to Stupid Questions covers evolution, the Big Bang, creationism, flat Earth, and more. Order using the link below, and I will personally sign and ship you a copy today. But misinformation comes in many forms. My other book, Facts That Aren't True, debunks hundreds of false claims ranging from the human body, history, nature, animal facts, and more. I promise you'll find something in here that you've been wrong about for years.
So if you also look at the fossil record, right, you can also do a lot of examples with that, with just a glass of water and some dirt, just by being able to separate things, right?
What does that have to do with the fossil record?
I'm talking about how you can organize a entire fossil record by laying certain layers down, just by having different kinds of dirt.
That also is completely contradicted by geology, because the rock strata on our planet is not sorted by density.
It is, because
it's connected. No, it's not. If you go to the Grand Canyon, you get limestone, sandstone, shale, sandstone, limestone, shale, and then sometimes volcanic rock in alternating orders. You can't have a flood where magically the lightest, finest materials got laid down, then the heaviest, then another layer of light material, then another layer of heavy, dense material, and then a couple of light materials.
Be the heaviest thing to go first, right? So, and that's not seen everywhere, but it is seen quite commonly.
It would have to be seen everywhere for a global flood. Your model has to explain all of the data. When you only look in specific places and say, well, look, in this place, these five layers are sorted by density, that proves it. No, you could say it proves it in this location somehow, but what you're offering is supposed to be the explanation. It has to describe the majority of the data.
One second, hang on.
Now you made me buy a copy of my own book so I can pull up pictures if I need to. Booyah.
Okay, sorry about that.
No worries.
As far as the sorting of the strata, right? That's left behind, right? You can find where it is laid down like that, though. I understand that you say that it doesn't show that in the geologic record, but I would definitely say that it definitely does. You can't find that, and there's picture evidence of it.
We just went over this, so if I can pull up a diagram here. Your explanation has to account for the majority of the data, not just some like some things that you can find in special locations. So bear with me while I do this. See if I can make this the correct size. Sorry, this takes a little bit of time. So like this is the fucking A. Now I have to adjust it on YouTube too. So yeah, like these are the layers of the Grand Canyon. And yeah, they're not sorted by density. Creationists tell us that the Grand Canyon is actually the perfect place to see like the flood geology, the flood deposits or whatever. But all of this stuff, like for a lot of reasons, this is just one reason. But this stuff, it totally excludes the possibility of that because you have shale, limestone. I'm not sure what that is, but like the Coconino sandstone at the top.
I'm not sure what that is either.
Sandstone is made of large sediment grains that are the heaviest. So the idea that the heaviest, right, most dense grains ended up at the top and all the shale ended up at the bottom is just, it's completely untenable. But also the top layer, the Kaibab formation, that has limestone with like corals in it. And like the idea of that being at the very top makes almost less sense too. Anyways, go ahead. 'Cause that took me forever. So. Hello. Wait, is he there? Oh, you're coffee cupped. I can't hear you if you're not on the app.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with the Kaibab formation. Can you spell that for me? I just want to look it up.
Kaibab.
Got it. Okay. So, yeah, I have seen that before, but you said, what were you saying about that formation though?
Well, the Kaibab, it has corals in it, which isn't super relevant. I'm just talking about the structure of the geologic column across our planet can't support a flood because one, the layers are not sorted by density, which is one problem. The other problem, if you look at the Grand Canyon, what you actually find is that the layers undulate. Like you can be standing in one place and be at a certain elevation, and then hundreds of miles away, when you stand in a different location, you can be at the same altitude, but you're on a completely different layer. Flood deposits cannot deposit sediments in undulating ways like layers. This. And the unconformities, right, in the erosional patterns don't work with any of this either.
That would have to come from its own, from a separate rain, or you know, like a separate water deposit. So, for example, like many years of like water eroding away at something and then transferring it.
The waters only take 40 days to rise. Like the whole flood is 150 days.
Roughly, yes.
Yeah. And then there's another problem, which is that when things like limestone form, they actually release heat. And the amount of heat that would have to be released to form all the global rocks associated with the flood would release so much heat that it would just vaporize the Earth's crust. The Earth would be completely destroyed. The amount of rain forming, like just the amount of water forming alone, wouldn't do that, but it would heat Earth up to the point where
it would create an exceptional amount of heat. Yeah, because of the amount of heat coming back off of the sun, so the refraction would turn our ozone into nothing.
Well, none of it has to do with the sun, no.
Well, as far as our atmosphere, like the heat from the heat would hit off the water and then refract back into the atmosphere, heating up our planet tremendously.
No, the release of heat comes from when water vapor condenses into liquid water. That has to release heat. For a phase change like that to happen, the energy has to be conserved, so it releases heat into the atmosphere. It would release so much heat in the atmosphere that the atmosphere would be, I don't know, hundreds, if not thousands of degrees just from that.
That's quite hot. Not survivable enough for anything, but.
No, definitely not a boat. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, but like I said, I'm always willing to take information here. Like I said, but I do still subscribe to the flood being that there is evidence of it in the Grand Canyon. I know that she said that the geologic record doesn't subscribe for it. I get that. I also do. Again, I'm not a geologist. That's not my specialty. I only research things and look things up to say, hey, what is truth and where, you know, is this something that I can actually subscribe to? But when it comes to evolution alone, I just don't see it enough.
Oh yeah, we were talking about evolution. Well, what kind of evidence do we not have that you would need to see for evolution to be considered true?
The fossil record to me, there's too many gaps between, and not necessarily gaps, but I think that a lot of the species of different animals that are created are blended together so that they can show, in a sense, things becoming something else. Where I think that they're an entire animal separately.
I'm not really sure what that means. So like in the Badlands of South Dakota, we have such extensive and excellent brontothere fossils that range over huge, like millions of years. And the most, the brontotheres at the uppermost layers, which according to us would be the most recent ones. I can make this a little bit bigger. I can make it a lot bigger, actually.
I can see it.
Those are nowhere close to considering that they're the same animal as the one on bottom, but you can see that there's clearly a transition at every step of the way. It is a small change. These are the micro mutations,
those are small
right?
Changes, right? Those, and I agree with that. Micro mutations can absolutely happen. I agree with that.
Yeah, and but when they happen for millions of years, you get a completely different organism after that amount of time, and that's what evolution says is happening.
Right, I agree with that, but that's what I'm saying.
Well, but that's what evolution
is. The changes that we're seeing here are not drastically different from the overall animal, at least at that skeletal, if you look at it, right? So,
well, no, for the brontothere, those are pretty dramatic, but I mean, if you look at the horse evolution here, Mesohippus, it was like the size of a dog, whereas a modern horse, the equus, that's completely different, and the structure in the bones. Mesohippus walked on all of its toes and had pads, right? Whereas modern horses, they walk just on one finger and one hoof, which is the nail of one digit. That is dramatically different. And if we look at the evolution of whales, that's even crazier, because Pachycetus and Ambulocetus were land dwellers. But Dorudon and Basilosaurus were 100% aquatic.
I would subscribe to Pachycetus being, again, a completely different animal than turning into a whale, though. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it is a completely different animal. We wouldn't classify it as a whale either. It's an ancestor of whales. But its descendants eventually became Ambulocetus and Basilosaurus and Dorudon, which have structures that modern whales do not have, nobody would really say that. Like if I go back to Basilosaurus or Dorudon, which are
I know that they are
two creatures. Nobody would say that those aren't whales, but they're really highly distinct from modern whales at the same time.
True, they are very distinct, right? Again, from a standpoint of observing something and observing what I'm looking at, between all four of them, right? I would say that each one of them are all different types of creatures, right? And that they have their own fossil records and that they probably died out, but I wouldn't say that they were necessarily related to them, to each other. We can't prove relation.
Yeah, we can.
Simply off of a skeleton.
Well, no, you'd have to use, you can, but what you can do is set up a prediction and then confirm that prediction with genetics. So what happens is,
right.
Pachycetus and Bacillus, or Pachycetus and Ambulocetus, they have legs. Yeah, I mean, you can see them.
Right.
And in the legs, they have what's called this bone called an astralgus, which is part of the talus. But like they just call the astralgus or the talus bone an astralgus in these animals for whatever reason. Well,
right.
Modern whales don't have any leg bones. They have some rudimentary hip bones that are left over. They don't have any leg bones. But Bacillosaurus and Dorudon, as you can see here, these are whales that had legs, hind legs, which is highly unusual. But if you look at their legs, they actually have this bone too. So this fully terrestrial animal, Pachycetus, and Ambulocetus, which was not fully terrestrial, it would have been like, I don't know to the extent to which it was aquatic. You know, like if it was like more like a walrus or more like a beaver where it's kind of like 80-20, 50-50, whatever. It doesn't matter. But it has this bone.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. But can you go back like maybe 10 seconds? I got that call came in and cut you off.
Oh, yeah, sure. What was the last thing you heard me say?
You were talking about the bones between the feet there.
Okay, sure. So this bone... Pachycetus and Ambulocetus have it, and they have legs. They're clearly terrestrial animals that are also semi-aquatic. Ambulocetus maybe is like highly aquatic, like a hippo is. Now, Bacillosaurus and Dorudon are fully aquatic. Obviously, this animal would die if you put it on land. It would crush itself. But they still have legs, and in the legs, they have that same bone. So they have hind legs, but they don't use them for walking. So we think that that is a leftover trait from when their ancestors were land-dwelling creatures, and they have this diagnosable bone, the astralgus. And the only other creatures that have that are artiodactyls, which are a specific type of hooved animal today. That's why you can see pronghorn antelope here. So the fossil record gives us the prediction of how they got to the water and what they're most closely related to. And then genetics just absolutely confirms this. It's in here somewhere in the book. Artiodactyls. Lo and behold, Pachycetus, Ambulocetus, Bacillosaurus, Dorudon, all of the same structure. It's not seen in modern whales. Wait, where is it? Oh, yeah. So, sorry, it's right down here. So that is the case. That gives us the genetic prediction. And yes, whales are most closely related to hooved animals than anything else, or than they are to anything else living today, specifically hippos.
Is that
simply off of the fact of looking at the skeleton?
Or you're muffled. I can't understand anything.
Can you hear me better?
A little bit, yeah.
How about now?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, sorry about that. If we're talking about looking at these animals and making predictions based off just the skeletons, are they only using the skeletons or are they using DNA? Because I can say that, you know, something is related based off DNA, but
I just said the skeleton. DNA. The skeletons tell us what our genetic prediction would be because they share the skeletal structures with a specific group of land-dwelling creatures, the hooved animals, that's where the whale needs to be most closely related. If it turns out whales are most closely related to fish, then evolution is fucked. But it turns out that they are most closely related to hooved animals.
Right. Where I would say that we differ, I would say that, again, that they're different types of creatures, and they had, just because they have similar bone structure,
I agree they're a different type of creature too, but they're still related.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that they're related just based off their bone structure. Like
no, you figure that out using genetics, and the genetics confirms it.
if the genetics confirms it, then you know I'm willing to accept that, but I just don't see that the skeletal changing is happening, turning something into a different animal, like I said. And I don't see related skeletons of something also being able to be to prove that something is related. You can only prove that it died.
Yeah, I tackle the fault in the logic of that claim in this book too. But no, you well, look at the skeletons and then you can tell.
I'd love to pick up a copy of it.
It's called Rational Answers to Stupid Questions. No, it's the green screen's blocking it out. There it is.
No, I can see it. You got it on what, Amazon?
Yeah, if you buy it from my store, I'll sign the copy myself and ship it to you. But you can get it on Amazon too, if that's more convenient.
Yeah.
But no, the skeleton tells you, damn, these whale creatures, they have all these things in common with a specific different group of animals. That just gives you your prediction. We've done genetic testing, and we know through genetics that whales are most closely related to those specific animals. The specific one they are most closely related to is the hippo.
All right. Well,
speaking of hippos, all hail our Lord and Savior Spanky.
Lord have mercy.
Well, he's not that merciful to people that don't believe in him. So,
oh my goodness.
Like you can ask him for mercy. He appreciates that, but you're going to have to It terms and conditions apply. No different than Yahweh. This video and all my videos is on my Patreon ad-free, and you can get a free copy of my first book by being a member too. Plus, your name will appear in the end credits. Thank you.